News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
This is the WSJM Week in Review Podcast. I'm Michael Arney. We start in Lansing, where there was some drama and unusual happenings in the State House Wednesday and early into Thursday morning. It is very rare that legislation pushed by the majority party, be they Republican or Democrat, fails to pass. But that's exactly what happened early Thursday. After about 12 hours of arm-twisting and backroom negotiations, some Republicans wanted to completely repeal the state income tax over 40 years. That bill cleared committee this week with very little debate, but it became clear quickly that there were not going to be enough votes to pass it. So supporters modified it to instead cut the tax from the current 4.25% to 3.9% by 2021. Then they put it up for a vote. All but one Democrat voted no. 12 Republicans joined them. The bill went down by 3 votes. Among those Republicans voting no was Representative Dave Pagel of Berrien Springs. He talked to us about why he cast that vote.
We weren't identifying any specific cuts, which we know are going to have to take place if we make these changes. So I had lots of concerns.
Pagel says the initial plan to eliminate the tax completely was pretty bad. It was also something the governor was vehemently opposed to. He says the tax cuts may be the easy thing to do, but if you understand the budget, there are better ways to serve Michigan residents.
But it's more a time to just do our business, do our jobs, prioritize, and fix the state's problems.
As he says, voting yes would have been easy.
Hey, I'm going to put a few more dollars back into the pockets of hardworking taxpayers. That sounds great, but it literally ends up being a few dollars spread very thin across the state, where if you put that money all together, you've got several million dollars.
Pagel tells us lawmakers need to focus on fixing the roads, paying down debt, and meeting pension obligations. Yes, the governor called him to thank him personally for his no vote. Benton Harbor area schools have a little more time to try to prevent 3 schools from being shut down, along with a total of 38 statewide. Governor Snyder on Thursday delaying any decision by the school reform office until May instead of next month on those closures. Michigan News Network's Jason Scott has our story.
More time and work are needed to resolve questions on potential school closures across the state. That's according to a release from Governor Rick Snyder. The School Reform Office and the Michigan Department of Education are set to work with local districts on best ideas for schools and the students they serve. 38 schools are on the state's potential closure list, 24 of them in the city of Detroit. The closures were expected to be announced in March. Decisions may not be ready now until May. Jason Scott, the Michigan News Network.
And for Benton Harbor, there are 3 schools on that list. The Kalamazoo Schools and the Saginaw Schools have now sued the school reform office, trying to prevent anything from being closed. Now, obviously, you've noticed that this winter hasn't featured a whole lot of snow. Might be good for a lot of us, but plow companies have been hurting. Drew Meyer owns King Chop out of Stevensville. It's also a landscaping service, and he tells WSJM News they have definitely been a lot less busy.
A typical winter, we see around 20 to 24 snow plowings in a season, and that could be from December all the way till March. And so far this year, we had 5 snow plowing events in December, 3 in January, and that's it.
The silver lining, he says, is he's been getting more frequent and earlier calls for landscape services. Scott Sutton with Harbor Shine Lawn Care in Benton Harbor telling us the same thing.
Some of my current mowing customers that we take care of, now that the weather's nice and they're seeing stuff around the house, we're doing some maintenance stuff.
Each business does more lawn work than snow plowing, so things do balance out. Meyer tells us when your business is weather dependent, you do have to plan for contingencies. As for the fruit crops, Mark Longstroth with Michigan State University Extension telling our newsroom there are some crops that are starting to sprout buds.
I was out looking at blueberries today, and it looked to me like those buds had started to move. So they're responding to the warm weather. That doesn't mean that they'll be hurt by temperatures below freezing. Right now, I think they could take temperatures down to 10 degrees without any problem at all.
Longstroth says he doesn't expect it to get that cold the rest of the winter, but there's no way to be sure it won't. He notes some buds, if they start to open, will be vulnerable to temperatures of around 18 or colder. He's just hoping March isn't either too cold or too hot. Now, less ice and less snow means less salt being put on the roads. That means savings for area road commissions. Van Buren County Road Commission's Greg Pardak telling our newsroom they're on track to save $130,000 this winter on salt alone. He notes they still have warehouses with most of the 5,000 tons of salt that they bought in the fall.
Our early shipment usually comes in October, so that's when we fill everything up and we just take a look at what our inventory is at that time and order it accordingly. So most likely next year when the early shipment comes around, we'll probably need about half as much or so as we would have this past year.
He tells us the Road Commission has also saved money on fuel, plow blades, and overtime. That's all thanks to the lack of winter weather. Says the extra money could go into road improvements once construction season gets underway. A new scholarship program created in honor of a Berrien County teen who died after a battle with cancer. Andrew Green has more.
The Berrien Community Foundation on Tuesday announced the David A. Hicks Scholarship for the Arts, which will be used to help Berrien County High School graduates who wish to pursue a career in visual, performing, or graphic arts. David Hicks first fought cancer at the age of 13 when he was diagnosed with a rare form called Ewing sarcoma. At 16, the cancer returned and proved too strong. David passed away at 17. He was the brother of Midwest Family Broadcasting's own Zach East, who says David always thought about others first and loved the arts, whether it was movies, TV, theater, theme parks, or video games. You can support the scholarship through the Community Foundation and get more information at davidhicksscholarship.com. Andrew Green reporting.
Big money coming to the city of Benton Harbor. Governor Snyder's office this week announcing a nearly $400,000 grant for the community under the Distressed Cities, Villages, and Townships program. It'll go towards some water projects. City Manager Darwin Watson says there are three things that they'll be doing.
There's a territorial water main replacement from Pawpaw to Hull Street. There is the water main replacement and connecting or looping on Sherman Court right off of Colfax. And then there is water valve replacement up to $50,000.
Watson says the water main replacements will prevent breaking and freezing in the winter by moving the mains deeper underground. Water valve replacements will happen all over the city. It's the third time Benton Harbor has received such a grant, and Watson says this money is a big help. It's a $9.6 million expansion being planned for the nursing program at Southwestern Michigan College. SMC President Dr. David Matthews tells us they're looking to increase capacity and also add new areas where students can get hands-on training.
I like to say we're going to raise the level of the facility to match the high quality of the programs that already are offered through us.
Matthews says the SMC nursing program is a proven success, and it's time they allow for more students.
I talk with the hospital CEOs. They're all thrilled with our nurses, but they just want more of them.
The plan is to expand the nursing facility from its current 12,000 to 29,000 square feet. Also be launching a capital campaign to pay for part of that work. Their goal is to raise $2.6 million. Congressman Fred Upton has co-sponsored a plan to prohibit health insurance companies from denying coverage to somebody due to pre-existing conditions. It's in preparation for the repeal, possibly, of the Affordable Care Act, which otherwise would have brought us back to the days of pre-existing condition denials. Upton says the Pre-Existing Conditions Protection Act of 2017 will prevent that by guaranteeing access to coverage, banning pre-existing condition exclusions, and banning premium ratings based on health status. He tells us he's taking part in meetings as the U.S. House crafts its health care plan. Upton also says he met with some constituents twice this month over teletown halls to talk health care. A disgusting, despicable monster. Those words from Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette, describing former Michigan State University and USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar, facing accusations of sexually abusing dozens of his former patients for years.
These 22 charges, allegations we are certain will be upheld in a court of law, involve nine young girls who were violated, sexually assaulted, sexually abused by Dr. Nassar.
One of them was as young as 10. Schuette unveiled the new charges against Nassar this week, says the case likely the worst case of serial sexual assault ever in Michigan. The alleged crimes were committed over some 20 years in the Lansing area. Police in Indiana say they've gotten dozens of leads in the case of two teenage girls killed while walking in the woods. They're asking people to listen to a recording found on one of the girls' phones that they think might be of the killer. ABC's Alex Perez has more for us from Delphi, Indiana.
To Indiana investigators inundated, more than 1,900 tips coming in since police released this short audio recording. That voice, authorities believe, is Abby Williams and Libby German's killer. The recording captured on Libby's phone.
There's now a $50,000 reward for any information leading to an arrest. And President Trump this week ending government support for an Obama administration order saying transgender students can use any bathroom they choose. ABC's Andy Field tells us what happens next.
LGBT activists furious that the president sent the issue back to the states, saying President Trump doesn't care about transgender civil rights. Spokesperson Sean Spicer says, not so.
I think it's not a question of whether it's a civil right, it's where it's appropriately addressed. And as I noted, it's appropriately addressed at the state level.
But transgender students say it makes no sense that they might have civil rights in one state and not another. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
And that's a look at the week that was for February 24th, 2017. I'm Michael Arney reporting.